statement by O'Leary was callous at best and at worst sadistic. O'Leary makes the point that this is great news. Fantastic, he says. In fact, here is exactly what he said.
It's fantastic. And this is a great thing because it inspires everybody, gets the motivation to look up to the 1% and say, I want to become one of those people. I'm going to fight hard to get up to the top. This is fantastic news, and of course I applaud it. I celebrate capitalism.
Now, what O'Leary calls capitalism, though, has nothing to do with the statistic of the world's poorest. To claim that all the world's poor need to do is to pull themselves up by their bootstraps is pretty naive when you consider that they don't have any boots. In fact, I want to tell you why O'Leary's statement was so ludicrous right after this. The destruction of constitutional liberties and endless foreign wars. The voice of the people silenced while lawmakers simply enrich themselves and the political class. I'm Ben Swan. It isn't about left versus right. No, the real fight is liberty versus tyranny. At BenSwan.com, we are breaking the left-right paradigm. We know that the American two-party system is broken, and that to restore American liberty means to restore your rights as an individual. At BenSwan.com, we cover stories the national media won't touch, from the National Defense Authorization Act to nullification, militarization of police, and crony capitalism. We are the face of new media. BenSwan.com. Where humanity is greater than politics. When Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary refers to the news that the world's 85 richest people actually possess more wealth than the world's 3.5 billion poorest as fantastic, the statement rings of ignorance. The 3.5 billion people on the planet who live in the poorest nations live in places such as Sierra Leone, Somalia, Ethiopia, Afghanistan, Cambodia, Indonesia, and we could go on. These people live on $1.25 a day. The truth about abject poverty is that capitalism isn't even an option for these people. The resources of the poorest nations may be taken advantage of by rich multinational corporations. Poor nations' assets may be pledged as collateral in loans from the World Bank. When corrupt local governments allow the national resources in poor nations to be plundered, the citizens don't have an engine to build wealth. Lack of infrastructure, rampant corruption, and little access to formalized education keep a bright entrepreneurial person in a third world country from ever achieving any wealth. To pretend that these people have opportunity to become anything they desire and that it's only a lack of will that holds them back is simply ignorant. Be sure to check out our stories, stories that affect your liberty, by finding me online at BenSwan.com, where humanity is greater than politics.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com has solutions. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000 during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at WhatLiesInYourDebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit WhatLiesInYourDebt.com.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The United Voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Happen radio show. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Dan the Man is now sitting at the control console. And joining us on the phone right now is Rich Forer. And he is the author of the book, Breakthrough, Transforming Fear into Compassion, A New Perspective on the Israel-Palestine Conflict. And the reason I wanted to have him on the show is because he has gone through a period of evolution regarding coming out of his background and his roots and stepping back and starting to view the problem from outside the box, which is always the first step to finding real solutions. So, Rich, thank you very much for spending time with us today. And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background?
And thank you for having me, Michael. My background is I was brought up on the East Coast. I was born in 1948, just a few years after the Holocaust. I'm Jewish. I attended synagogue as a kid, got bar mitzvahed, and had lots of Jewish friends. I'm an identical twin, and we were brought up in a Reform synagogue. And my identical twin in the early 70s, in the very early 70s, went to Israel to work on a kibbutz, which was really a secular activity. But while he was there, he started taking courses at the local yeshiva, and he ended up joining an ultra-Orthodox sect of Judaism. Mm. And that's kind of interesting because their leader used to tell them that Israel, that they should always make a point of telling everyone that Israel should never, ever give back not even one inch of land to the Palestinian people. That was kind of like a mantra that was part of their culture, of their ultra-Orthodox culture. My younger brother is a former president of one of the largest Reform synagogues on the East Coast, and all of us were always strong defenders of Israel. We just assumed everything was true that we had been taught growing up, and that really that most of the American public is taught, because we're all taught here in this country through the media that certain people are terrorists and other people who kill are just soldiers defending themselves. And a lot of this has to do with politics. A lot of it has to do with favoritism and bias and prejudice. And so I was guilty. I was guilty of that. And anytime I would hear anybody discuss Israel in a negative light, you know, blame Israel for example, their wars with Hezbollah or their wars with Hamas, their conflicts with Hamas or Syria, Jordan, whatever it was, I always held Israel blameless and would say, what do you expect Israel to do? They're just defending themselves from a bunch of people who want to kill all the Jews, who want to get rid of Israel. And this was pretty much my stance all of my life, Michael. And then in 2006, you may remember that Hezbollah crossed over into northern Israel in July of 2006, and they abducted two Israeli soldiers and killed three. The following day, Israel retaliated with immense firepower, and for about 3 weeks, what became known as the Second Lebanon War took place, in which over a million Lebanese were displaced from their homes and many were killed. And when this happened, coincidentally, now that I look back, I say coincidentally, although at the time I thought it was planned, but coincidentally, 3 weeks before Hezbollah abducted the soldiers in northern Israel. In June, 3 weeks earlier, Hamas had captured Gilad Shalit, the Israeli soldier, from the Gaza border. And so when Hezbollah did their attack into northern Israel 3 weeks after that, I just naturally assumed, without studying anything, without really looking into the facts, I naturally assumed that this was a coordinated action and that Hezbollah and Hamas were working in concert with each other. And of course I was very upset. Israel had invaded Lebanon, and I was totally supportive of Israel. And some friends of mine were very critical of Israel, and I couldn't believe it. I knew that in the past they'd been critical of Israel, but to my mind, to the internal logic of my mind that was developed over a lifetime growing up in Jewish culture and hearing the proclamations of Israeli leaders and Jewish rabbis, I just assumed that it was obvious that the Arabs wanted to kill the Jews, and this is why this war was happening. But my friends disagreed with me, and to my great consternation. And that just made me even more defensive. But what happened was that a Jewish friend who I'd known all my life just happened to call me up in the middle of around 1 week or 1.5 weeks into the war. And he didn't call me up to discuss Israel. He called me up to tell me that he was flying out from the East Coast to the West, where I was living at the time, and he was going to go to a bar mitzvah, and then he was going to come visit me. And after he told me that, I then launched into a speech or a tirade for about 2 hours, in which I started complaining about the Arab world. And I knew that he had studied the subject for many years, and he's very neutral. And as I was talking to him, he never disagreed with, well, occasionally he disagreed with me, but in a very neutral tone, without any emotion, just as a matter of fact. You know, that's actually not true. This is the fact. And there was no judgment in his voice. There was no judgment in his attitude towards me. And at the end of the 2 hours, basically what happened was he gave me permission to do something I'd never done before, which was to actually research the subject. Because what he said at the end of the 2 hours was, you know, why don't you read a couple articles or check out a couple books by these Israeli Jewish scholars? They're very well known and they're very good, and you'll get some clarification about what's happening. And I didn't really know what I was going to find out. I just thought to myself, because he had created this space for me, he had kind of, as I say, he had given me permission by simply allowing me to speak without judging me. And in that space of acceptance, I was able to say to myself, that's not a bad idea. I've never studied the subject. I've never really read a book on this subject, except for one book I had read in 1994. And so with that permission, I then compiled a list. I went to Amazon, looked up these authors that he had given me, and then compiled a list of other authors who had written books on the Jewish, on the Israeli-Palestinian problem. My only criterion was that the authors had to be Jewish, because I was afraid that if they weren't Jewish, they might be anti-Semitic. That's another common perception among the Jewish community, that people just tend to be anti-Semitic. So then I went and got some books out of the library, including one book by one of the authors my friend had suggested. And the next day I started reading. And Michael, what I started reading, what I just shocked me. I couldn't believe what I was reading. The first thing that happened, though, was in the first paragraph of the book that I was reading, I could tell, I don't know how I could tell this, but I could tell that the author was really a brilliant man. And so I knew that I had to give him, I couldn't just dismiss him out of hand if I didn't like what he was saying. And then secondly, that author was documenting everything he was saying, and I was looking at the footnotes, and the documentation was from places like Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, B'Tselem, which is the Israeli human rights organization, the United Nations, you know, some really mainstream and well-regarded organizations. So again, I couldn't dismiss them out of hand. And so then what happened is that during the course of reading, I went through a series of emotions, because everything that I was reading was so contradictory to what I had believed. I had always believed that Israel only used force when it had to, that it never attacked, that it only defended itself, and that if it killed people, it only killed people because it had no choice. It was self-defense. And if children died, whether they were Lebanese or Palestinian, if children died and all these people were horrified, it was because the other side, whether it was Hamas or Hezbollah, had embedded their soldiers within civilian population. So it was their
fault. Rich, I'm sorry. I'm loving what you're saying. We need to take a three-minute break for commercials, and when we come back, I want you to pick up exactly where you left off. We'll be right back after these words.
For thousands of years, silver has been used as both a medicine and a preservative. But not all silver is equal. Supernatural Silver is an amazing new technology that has been clinically shown to be several hundred times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. Supernatural Silver resonates at the same frequency as germicidal light used in labs to kill bacteria and viruses. Supernatural Silver is a broad-spectrum microbial that creates no resistance and does not harm beneficial bacteria, making it ideal for daily use. It can be used internally as well as topically and is highly effective against bacterias, viruses, molds, and yeast. Supernatural Silver liquid and gel are perfect for on-the-go or emergency preparedness and can provide protection at home, school, or work. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and remember the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale, with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What's really happening? Wouldn't you like to know? Tune in to Fighting Pharaoh. Hear the afraid you know. Tired of the mainstream media lies. Listen.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Rich Forer today, the author of Breakthrough, Transforming Fear into Compassion, A New Perspective on the Israel-Palestine Conflict. It's available at Amazon. I just posted a link to that from whatreallyhappened.com. And Rich, I'm listening to what you're describing about the transformation you were going through, and I identify very strongly with that because I went through much the same thing when I began to realize that my beliefs about the nation I lived in, my beliefs about our place in the world, our affiliations, the rightness of certain policies, were absolutely wrong. And because people tend to build their identities around those beliefs, it can literally trigger an identity crisis. And it is not an easy transformation to go through. So would you, and by the way, I may want to keep you into an extra segment here. I know we told you originally half an hour. I hope you've got a little more time. Would you please pick up where you left off before the commercial break?
Yeah, what I was saying before the break was that I started going through these emotions when I was reading some horrific things. And some of the things I was reading was how Israeli soldiers often used lethal force when there was no threat of violence or threat to them, and even with children, that Israel commonly used collective punishment, meaning, for example, a Palestinian might do something bad, I don't know, throw some rocks or something, and then Israel would destroy that person's family's house, and on average, 12 other houses of relatives, usually. You know, things like that, and it was just so contrary to everything that I had believed. And what I want to mention is that a lot of what I believed, Michael, it was not directly taught to me. It was more absorbed by me. And when I say me, really, I'm referring to all of us. Because, for example, we pick up feelings from our caregivers as children. We sense how they feel in certain situations or when certain subjects are brought up. And then there are things like I would be in Sunday school in my synagogue, and in the school, I remember there were photographs of David Ben-Gurion, who was the founding father of Israel, Israel's first prime minister, and Chaim Weizmann, Israel's first president. And I, as a six-year-old in the 50s, not even 10 years after the Holocaust had ended, I saw these pictures of these two smiling men, and I would look at them and go, those are the men who are protecting us from another Holocaust. They are the ones who are making sure that Adolf Hitler or people like Adolf Hitler cannot do to the Jews what has been done to them, you know, through 1945. And then as part of that consciousness, there was the attitude, my God, the Nazis are so horrible, and there's so much anti-Semitism. Well, Jews would never treat other people the way people have treated Jews. Jews would never just blindly kill other people. We have more, we're more fair-minded. We're more just. So this kind of thinking develop, you know, we develop an internal logic that that creates the world for us, the way, you know, that beyond which we cannot conceive. So if you can't conceive that Israeli soldiers would never kill indiscriminately, well, then when you hear that Israeli soldiers have killed a lot of Palestinians, including children, you automatically will rationalize it. Oh, well, that's because Hamas embedded soldiers in the neighborhoods, or Hezbollah did. And none of that actually is true. There was very little embedding of soldiers in these areas that Israel attacked. But getting back to the emotions, when I started going through these emotions while reading, first I was shocked at what I was reading. It was so hard to believe. But then just spontaneously, the shock turned to anger. Anger at Israel for what it was doing in the name of the Jewish people, in my name. And then the anger towards Israel turned inward, and it became anger towards myself for having been allowed myself to be duped all of my life to believe things that weren't true and to have character assassinated the Arab world because of what I believed was true, which was turning out not to be true. Then the anger towards myself turned into embarrassment for being so blind and for being so thoughtless in caring about other people, and it went into embarrassment and shame. And then I felt a great sorrow for the suffering of the Palestinian people. And at that point, I put the book down to take a rest. It was just like a natural thing to do. I just put the book down and I closed my eyes and just kind of just zoned out for a bit. And what happened was, I'm saying apparently because I apparently went into a dark space. By dark, I mean a space of nothingness. And in that space of nothingness, I don't know what happened. But when I opened my eyes sometime later, and I don't even know how long in chronological time later it was, but when I opened my eyes, I was immediately confronted with the fact that I felt cleansed. I didn't feel any negative emotions whatsoever. And I'd been going through, I'd gone through these emotions, and it was kind of painful. And all of a sudden, I opened my eyes, and not only do I feel free of all these emotions, but I feel totally peaceful. And I just sat there. And I basically, I was in a state of bliss, although I wouldn't have defined it at the time. I wouldn't have used any definitions at all at the time. I was just in a state of bliss. And then what happened was a series of, what happened was I noticed, I felt a cloth. I felt as if a cloth was covering my eyes. And all of a sudden, this cloth, and then it was kind of a soothing feeling, like if you're tired and you lay down and put a wet cloth over your eyes just to relax. And all of a sudden, this feeling of this cloth, it started changing, and it started unraveling as if it was going to uncover my eyes. And it started from the left, and in a spiral fashion, the cloth kind of unwound itself and passed over my left eye and then over my right eye. And when the feeling of the cloth was no longer gone, the world was brighter. And in that moment, I recognized that the world was a reflection of our inner states of consciousness, that the world itself does not change. What changes is how we perceive the world and what we superimpose or project onto the world. And then I happened to notice, and I don't know how I noticed this, but I noticed I could not find a separate Jewish identity. And I had always defined myself more as a Jew than as an American, as many Jews do in America. And I found that fascinating because I thought to myself, my God, I can't find this Jewish identity. And I tried somehow to find it. Not only did I try to find that identity, I was trying to find the emotions I had been feeling prior to closing my eyes. And I could not find those emotions. I was actually looking for those emotions throughout the room. I was looking in the corners of the room, and I was looking in the bookcase. And where's the anger? Where's the fear? Where's the sorrow? Where's the shock? I couldn't find any of these negative emotions. And so what I found fascinating in particular, though, about not being able to find a Jewish identity was I thought to myself, my God, if I was going to somehow have my entire identity, I shouldn't say my entire identity, but a core identity suddenly dissolve, I would think it would happen with a great deal of emotional and even physical distress, and yet it happens so easily. And so then I dropped that thought, and then I recognized, I just suddenly noticed, without a Jewish identity, that I was as much Palestinian as Israeli, as much Muslim or Christian as Jew. And in that moment, I recognized that the reason I had been so imprisoned in a world of belief that I was right, and that there was a part of the world that was wrong, that there was us against them. The reason I had been in that was because of fear, and fear of the other.
Okay, Rich, I hate to do this to you again. We got to cut you off for one more commercial break. When we come on back, I understand what you're going through very much so. I want to get on to what you think the solution to the Palestinian-Israeli situation is going to be, and more about your book. We'll be back after these commercials.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Obamacare stories are worse every day. Medical treatment in Thailand can offer Americans some genuine options at fractional prices of U.S. treatment. Nursing homes, elder care, fractions of U.S. prices, and such superior options. The money you save could easily purchase a condo or two. Go to AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com, a down and dirty guide on doing it once, doing it right, and on the cheap. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
They're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder what's a guy on Main Street to do. I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking to her. And Rich, I understand exactly what you're describing. I've been through it myself. I know a lot of other people have. I'm already getting emails about that. When you all of a sudden realize that the beliefs that you thought you knew about the world are gone, you're sort of cut loose from a lot of the foundation. And it can almost feel briefly like you're actually on drugs. A lot of people are going through that, not just in Israel, here in the United States of America, up in Canada. Zbigniew Brzezinski called it the global political awakening. Of course, from his point of view, that's a bad thing, because it is those who create these artificial barriers and lines to control us that need to keep us locked into those cages built of our beliefs. We only have one more segment that I can share with you, and I'd like to get more into your book. And obviously, this is not a political or even a military analysis of what's going on with Israel and Palestine. It's obviously coming from more of the spiritual. But just tell us what the book's about.
Well, the book does go through my transformation, and it shares the insights, and it shows how the real enemy is the unexamined mind that unconsciously projects its suffering onto the world and then blames the world for its suffering. It shows how we create a world of us against them, and how we superimpose our beliefs onto the other, And when we superimpose our beliefs onto the other, we create a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you happen to see someone, let's say someone happens to have very negative beliefs about Arabs. If they meet someone, they may like that person, but then suddenly they're told that that person happens to be Palestinian or Syrian or whatever. Well, then their whole concept of that person might change. And if you have negative beliefs about particular groups of people, well, then when you read what they have to say, when you look at what they're doing, you'll interpret them through those negative beliefs, and you'll end up treating them in such a way that they will respond by acting in a way that will reinforce your beliefs. And so that's part of what I talk about in the book. I talk about how we create this world of us against them, and how we are creators of our own destiny and of our world. I also actually go into the history of Israel-Palestine, and I clarify every single argument that one hears in our society about the subject. So, for example, one of the common arguments that you often hear whenever someone is speaking to defend Israel's actions is, well, in 1947, Israel accepted the United Nations partition plan, and the Palestinians rejected it. Therefore, Israel is not to blame for this problem. And the assumption in their argument is that, therefore, everything that happened since that date, including the ethnic cleansing that has been going on for the last many years, including the building of settlements on Palestinian land to this very day, the assumption of that argument is it's all the Palestinians' fault. But that's a very one-sided argument, because what that argument fails to take into account is the fact that the partition plan would have given Israel 56% of British Mandate Palestine, and only 43% of the Palestinians, with the 1% being Bethlehem and Jerusalem under a UN mandate. So Jerusalem would not have been the capital of Israel. Number two, everybody knows that Israel has never been content existing on the 78% of the land it has controlled since 1949. And, of course, we know in 1967 Israel took over the other 22%, the West Bank and Gaza. So, and then also that argument doesn't take into account that the Israeli leaders, the only reason they accepted the partition plan was because they wanted a foothold for further expansion. Their intention was to completely expand, and they really wanted to go all the way to the Jordan River and possibly beyond into Jordan, what is now Jordan. So I go into all of these arguments and show the lack of logic and the unfairness of the argument, how people use their internal logic to only see one side of the issue. And I clarify all of the history. I mean, for example, the 2000 Camp David summit at the end of Clinton's presidency. A lot of people, including a lot of congresspeople, I've heard senators refer to this summit. The common perception is that Ehud Barak, Prime Minister of Israel at the time, made a very generous, unprecedented offer to the Palestinians, and Yasser Arafat rejected it. Well, that is a total lie. Even Israel's chief negotiator at the time, Shlomo Ben-Ami, said that the concessions offered by Israel fell far short of even the most modest Palestinian expectations. So this is something that people need to know, because I'm not trying to tell people what they should believe. I'm trying to get them to find out for themselves. And I'm trying to get them to do research. So instead of not thinking for themselves, instead of blindly believing what they've been taught to believe by people who have an agenda, they can find out for themselves and restore some integrity to their beliefs. If someone still wants to support Israel, that's fine with me, but at least support Israel on the basis of the truth, not on the basis of false ideas and character assassination of a people that is really unjust and unfair. So that's
well,
the gist of it, Michael.
I'm going to be buying your book. I'm going to tell you that right now. The book, one more time, is Breakthrough, Transforming Fear into Compassion, A New Perspective on the Israel-Palestine Conflict. The author is Rich Forer. I've got a link from my website to the Amazon page. It's available in paperback. There's a Kindle version. And what you are saying, what you went through, could apply to so many other areas of contention besides Israel and Palestine.
That's right.
You're, your grasp of human nature is amazing, and I'm looking forward to reading your book. We got about another 4 minutes left here. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
Well, you know, I just what I want to share is that to me the solution is within. In other words, before anybody can really find peace in the world, they have to first find it within. And that takes self-reflection. It takes self-inquiry. And what I discovered was that one of the great discoveries that I made was when I realized during this transformational process that even the most extreme people in the world, even the worst terrorists who would want to behead me for simply being American or Jewish, even these people, no matter how bloodthirsty their intentions, even they crave the same right to self-determination as do I. And the reason that's important is we have to ask, why do people resort to such horrible methods to get their need for self-determination or freedom met? There is a reason for this. People are not born hateful. And so when we encounter, you know, Al-Qaeda extremists who want to kill Americans and other people, that they are people who really need to be stopped. But the question is, why are they doing this? What have we done? Have we played any role in their becoming so distressed that they are willing to resort to such hatred and violence? And when you really look at it, you start seeing that everything is a projection. Because I hear supporters of Israel, whether in the United States or Israel itself, including Israeli leaders and rabbis, talking about how horrible the Palestinians are, how they're filled with hatred. And these people who are talking about how horrible the Palestinians are, they support the worst kinds of abuses of Palestinians. They support, the killing of Palestinians. They allow fanatical religious settlers to attack Palestinians, to kill them without any, with full impunity. And they themselves speak in hateful tones, such as, the Torah says it's okay to kill Palestinian infants because they're going to grow up to be terrorists. This has been stated many times by rabbis in Israel, and when there's been an uproar about it, other rabbis have come to the aid of the rabbi who made such a ridiculous comment. So basically what I'm saying is find out for yourself what is true. Don't be con. Don't let other people tell you what to think. And consider the possibility that everybody is born equal, and that we're all at heart equal, and that no one has any greater right to self-determination than anybody else.
Well, that is just absolutely a wonderful thing there. We all have an equal right to life's blessings. And the book is called Breakthrough, Transforming Fear into Compassion, A New Perspective on the Israel-Palestine Conflict. I'm certainly going to be getting a copy for myself. Rich, thank you very much. We're coming up on another commercial break, and I have to let you go here and wrap up the show today. But in listening to you, you're obviously very intelligent yourself. Going back to the comment you made before about starting to read these books and just knowing automatically from the first few pages you were dealing with somebody who's very intelligent, obviously that applies to you as well. A lot of insight in what you talk about. I understand exactly what you're talking about, going through that transformation. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with the final segment of our show. We got a phone call waiting on the line, and we'll be right back.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
For thousands of years, silver has been used as both a medicine and a preservative. But not all silver is equal. Supernatural Silver is an amazing new technology that has been clinically shown to be several hundred times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. Supernatural Silver resonates at the same frequency as germicidal light used in labs to kill bacteria and viruses. Supernatural Silver is a broad-spectrum microbial that creates no resistance and does not harm beneficial bacteria, making it ideal for daily use. It can be used internally as well as topically and is highly effective against bacterias, viruses, molds, and yeast. Supernatural Silver liquid and gel are perfect for on-the-go or emergency preparedness and can provide protection at home, school, or work. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and remember the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance.
Ooh, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining what's really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to take one final phone call. Kathy in Utah. Aloha, Kathy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
I really appreciated your guest. That was so good to hear his story. I hope he has an impact. I hope he can open up other people's eyes like his were opened up.
Well, like I said, the reason I identified with what he was saying is I went through the same experience myself, and so have a lot of other people. There are a lot of people inside Israel who've gone through that transformation of freeing themselves from all those beliefs we're indoctrinated with as children. Steve Amsel over at Desert Peace is a good example, working very, very hard, trying to just not allow any more war or oppression to be taking place. And so I am definitely going to be getting his book and reading it.
Hey, so I Googled him yesterday because you had announced you would be having him on. And what was his name again? I'd like to...
Rich Forer, spelled F-O-R-E-R, and there is a bio at his Amazon page. It is amazing to look at his early background, just fully into the culture, the belief system, former member of AIPAC, obviously he's just had that moment of looking into the mirror and realizing the world is not what I really was convinced it was going to be. And when we look at all these divisions that are put up there, the us and them, that whole idea of us and them is part of the toolkit rulers use to control their people. We're the good people. We're God's favorite. We are, you know, God has given us a larger share of life's blessing, and we should go out and kill those poor fools who don't understand that we're supposed to have all the water, all the wealth, all the cattle, all the women, whatever. Right. And when you realize that those divisions between people really are an illusion, you understand that all of humanity is a continuum of just transitioning gradually from one color to another, one religion to another, orientation to another, and the lines really in the real world aren't all that clearly drawn. They're merely devices of convenience, like the lines on a map, to say we get the wealth from this particular group of human beings and you get the wealth from that particular group of human beings.
Okay, I agree 100%. And I like what Tom Cruise said once. He said we're all of one race, the human race, and I wish we could all just have that feeling of unity and brotherhood. What was the name of the other person you mentioned in Israel?
Steve Ansell. He runs the website Desert Peace. I link to a lot of his stuff from my website, and there are a lot of people that have woken up. They've had the red pill, if you want, that paradigm shift, and it is a very dramatic moment when it does happen, you begin to realize that you have been living your life very much entrapped by this cage of beliefs you're given as a small person. That's why they get the kids in kindergarten or Sunday school when they're too young to understand the big people are lying to them, and they're simply told, this is what you will believe. And Rich was absolutely right. Nobody is born hateful. Nobody is born shocked by bad words. Nobody is born offended by nudity. Nobody is born offended by homosexuality. These are all things we are taught in order to control us and make us useful to the political powers that be. And
how do you spell Steve's last name?
I don't have it in front of me. I think it's A-M-S-E-L, but just Google Desert Peace and you'll probably find him.
Okay. You know, there are a couple other people that have opened up my eyes on some of these issues, and I'll give you two actually Jewish sources, and one of them is David Cole. You can find his videos on YouTube.
Oh, I'm very familiar with David Cole, yes.
Okay, and what do you think of his analysis?
His analysis is bang spot on. I mean, he went to the head of the Auschwitz Museum, and the head of the museum confirmed to him that crematorium that's shown to all the tourists was not built by the Nazis. It was built after the war ended by the Russians to deal with the highly infectious bodies from the typhus epidemics that were raging across Germany at the time.
Right. There was really no extermination effort. And it was so interesting to me to listen to your guest, because that's what they've used. It creates this false unity, this them against us mentality. And there's also a Benjamin H. Friedman. Have you read his speech?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Okay, well, you... I didn't know that you were aware of these things. I just sent you an email with some links. So
okay, well, thank you very much. In fact, I'm looking at it right now.
Well, I'm glad you got that, and really enjoy your program.
All right, well, thank you very much. We're going to let you go here. We're coming up on the top of the show. I was responding to somebody earlier who emailed me about, why don't you tell the people this? And this was a lie. You've got to get it out there. And I replied to him that part of the skill of being a rabble-rouser is knowing what the rabble is ready to listen to and knowing what the rabble is not ready to hear. And you cannot just dump all of this reality on them, or their defense mechanisms rooted in those early beliefs kick in. Now, when you are enslaved by beliefs, and beliefs are the chains used to hold free minds slaves, no chains of iron or steel ever bound a human being tighter than the chains of the beliefs we are indoctrinated with as children. They get them in there young. They just teach them, this is what you believe. This is what the world is all about. And as you grow older, your personality, your identity grows up around those beliefs until you lose your identity to them. You become that which is believed in. And the giveaway is in the language. People walk around, they don't say, I support the agenda of the political, of the Republican political party. They say, I am a Republican. I am a Democrat. I am a Christian. They become that which is believed in. And so when information is presented that challenges the beliefs, the mind treats it as a personal attack. A good example would be that lady up at Jameson's on the North Shore who just started screaming at me when I logically boxed her in on this whole issue of global warming. You know, because she was convinced because television had told her that the world was getting warmer. And I said, is that the same TV told you Saddam had nuclear weapons? Is it the same TV that told you the Obamacare website was going to work? And because she didn't really have an answer out of that, she just exploded. And she was screaming to everybody that I was calling her an idiot, which is not what I said. I said, you've been lied to. But you need to be very careful when you are dealing with people who are still enslaved to belief. They will perceive and react to challenges to that belief as if you're attacking them personally. And what Rich went through, what I went through, what a lot of other people are going through right now is freeing themselves from those beliefs. And you go through an identity crisis and you start to rebuild your identity based on your own choice about your place in the world. And that's why when I was listening to him, I was thinking, been there, done that. All right, we're coming up on the top of the show. Apparently, Monsanto is now lobbying the U.S. government for a national GMO labeling law. It's not good news. The law is intended to bar all state governments from passing GMO labeling laws. And the law that the Monsanto is promoting will say will require a federal GMO label on any products proven to represent a health or safety risk, something that the U.S. government has refused to admit for more than 20 years. So this GMO labeling law is, in fact, a block all GMO labeling law. Because we know, look at the fury that erupted around that French study where they fed these rats glyphosate and GMO corn. And 4 months into the experiment, the rats started developing all these health issues. And the government of France said, we reject it. Doesn't mean the work was flawed. We reject it. And then a former Monsanto employee got a job at the institution and has now rescinded the report. That's the kind of money power that's out there. And so now they're in Washington, D.C. to get a GMO labeling law that will, in fact, make sure that we never find out on our products what is in there. All right, we're going to take, actually, this is the end of the show. We're going to head on out of here and get, Claire and I will get something useful done for the rest of the show. Please make a point of going over to the Republic Broadcasting website. We need your help and support to stand against the corporations, the government, the warmongers. It is a fist fight for the soul of the United States of America, and we need you to chip in for the boxing gloves. So we'll be back here tomorrow. Have a good evening. Aloha, America.